I want to continue on this theme of character. And we've been looking at many of the Old Testament saints and derived from them principles of character. But I want to look with you this morning into the life of Joshua and bringing out one of the salient features of his life. And that was courage. That is one of the things that a leader has to possess, courage. And I'd just like to comment, first of all, on the definition of courage. It's difficult to define, but one of the things in courage is you have to overcome fear. You must overcome fear, and you must be able to face an enemy. You must be able to face an enemy against overwhelming odds. And one of the definitions of courage is boldness. Is boldness. And that stems from righteousness, for it says the righteous are as bold as a lion. And then courage is to overcome insurmountable problems. And we can see it in the mentor of Joshua, Moses, when he was facing the Red Sea. God says, go forward, go forward. And that often is the key to leadership, to courage, is to go forward, to go forward. In so doing, you see, you overcome the enemy. And then, defining courage still, it is a mental, it comes from the mind, a mental or moral strength to withstand danger or a difficulty. And you know, the word courage, we have C-O-U-R, that's the first part of the word. That really comes from cur, C-O-E-U-R, which is heart. You see, it is a heart to resist opposition, danger, or hardship. And one of the things that courage is noted for is firmness or stability. A man of courage must not be double-minded, but he must indeed be very stable. He must be very decisive. Because he's facing an enemy, and he must have the conviction within his own heart that he will overcome. Now, the point that I want to make here is very important indeed. Because, as we were going to look at the life of Joshua in a moment, you know, we do not overcome by our own strength. But the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things which strengtheneth me. So a man of courage must indeed have that relationship with God whereby he receives strength. Strength. Very important indeed. This firmness of mind comes from a conviction of the heart. We are doing that which is right, and the enemy is wrong, and that God intends us, as he says in Romans 8, to be more than conquerors. You know, courage can also be defined as support for unpopular causes. You know, John F. Kennedy was given credit for a book called Profiles in Courage. It was actually written by Ted Sorensen, his writer, his ghostwriter. In that book, Profiles in Courage, it was very interesting that John F. Kennedy picked certain politicians, for he was a politician, picked certain politicians who indeed took unpopular stances, believing they were right. And you see, this is one of the qualities of leadership. You know, I had great admiration for a certain man who was called Captain Scott. He took a team to the Antarctica. Now, the Antarctica in his days had not been conquered. He was determined to take his team there and bring them back. Of course, that's one of the keys in leadership. You take a team into battle, but you bring them back. Well, he succeeded in bringing his team to the Antarctica, but then very bad weather caused him to camp for a longer period of time than his actual supplies would permit. He ran out and they all died, you know, on their way back. And in New Zealand, there is, shall I say, an exhibition where they have reconstructed and actually taken the campsite from the Antarctica and brought it to New Zealand, and you can see exactly how they lived in that time. But Captain Scott, you see, had, if I could say this, a preparation for that trip, facing insurmountable odds. And one of the things I remember was this, that he was in command of one of the ships of the Royal Navy, and somehow the propeller of the ship, which is at the stern and well underwater, had become entangled with some foreign matter, and it was preventing the propeller turning. Now, he was captain of the ship, and he just took off his uniform and he dived down to the stern of that ship, and he entangled the propeller and came back and would not permit anybody to write up the story of what he'd done, because he would have been highly honored. It was only afterwards that it was discovered. He had a preparation for that. You know, a man of courage must have an appreciation for the danger that he's going to face. In other words, he doesn't go into something in a foolhardy way. But he is very realistic and knows the cost that he must pay in taking the course. When we think of King David, you know, we think of his preparation, and his preparation consisted of a bear, a lion, and then Goliath. He did not go in thinking that, oh, the enemy has been overestimated. No. He knew the costs. He knew the power of a bear. And then he even took the lion by his beard, the strongest animal in the animal kingdom, the king of the animal world. No other animal would take on a lion, but King David did. And then, you see, having had these battles and realizing the strength of a bear, the strength of a lion, he then prepared to go and meet Goliath. Of course, he was anointed by God, and when you've got the anointing upon you, there's something different. You know, you have a resoluteness of mind, and you have a determination, and somehow you have within you the assurance you're going to win. Well, those are some of the definitions of courage. Those are some of the illustrations. So now I want to come to Joshua and see the aspect of courage that this man manifested. Obviously, the book of Joshua has got many truths, but it's just this one aspect I want to bring out, because in the list of virtues that a leader must have, the character that a leader must have, he must have this virtue of courage. Of courage. And so I'd like to look with you in chapter 1 of the book of Joshua and see the predominant theme of God's commission to Joshua. He first of all makes a declaration in verse 3 that every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given to you. But then he goes on in verse 5. He said, but I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And then he goes on in verse 6. And something he repeats several times, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Those qualities of strength, we have to know the Lord as our strength. And consistently in the Psalms, you know, David is eulogizing the Lord as his strength. And Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that is one of the things that we have to indeed major on in this realm of courage, strength. He says, be strong. And as Christians, we must be strong. We must be strong. How shall we be strong? By coming to the Lord and receiving from him his strength. You know, I just like to mention this thought in Isaiah chapter 40, which speaks quite eloquently on strength. It speaks about those that wait upon the Lord. Those that wait upon the Lord in verse 31 of Isaiah 40. It speaks of they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And then it goes back into verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, and has no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. And the youth shall be weary, the young men shall utterly fail, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And there is a thought, you see, of waiting upon the Lord to receive from God his strength. And then, in chapter 41 and verse 1, it says that the people renew their strength. The people renew their strength, or in the Hebrew, it has an exchange of strength, where we exchange our puny strength for the strength of God. So this is one of the things that we must understand. He says, be strong to Joshua. So in the realm of courage, we have to receive strength, which we do as we wait upon the Lord. And then he goes on, and of good courage, of good courage. I think that's interesting, good courage. So there must be bad courage. In other words, there's a courage that comes from the recklessness of man, which is bad, and it's not rooted and grounded in God. But it's a good courage that is rooted and grounded in God. Rooted and grounded in God. And then verse 7. Again, it's repeated. And when God repeats a thing, it is that he wants us to pay attention. Only be thou strong and very courageous. And very courageous. Now, what precisely does God want Joshua to be strong and very courageous about? Because, you know, it's important to understand for our edification exactly what God is saying to Joshua. So as we read on here, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. So, he's not talking about the enemy at this moment. His concern is that Joshua will be able to stand before the people of God to do all the law of God. And that is where your pressure comes from. You see, we were discussing in India, you know, various heads of fellowships, you see, where they had caved in to pressure, to compromise. And that's one of the things we must not do in Zion, to compromise standards. And so we must have the mantle of a Joshua. The mantle of a Joshua to be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. And so you see, we have seen this, we were discussing it in India. You know, how many leaders, when they come to the forefront, compromise? They are not strong. They are not courageous to do all the law of God. And because of that, erroneous things come into the lives of the fellowship, people of the fellowship. There's compromise. The vision changes. They turn first to the right or then to the left. They try this and then they try that, trying to please the people. But you see, as a leader, you cannot be like that. You have to be strong and very courageous to do only those things that are right. And that means you mustn't speak too quickly. You have to wait a bit to determine, well, what is right in this situation? What is right? And when you have determined what is right, then you have to be strong and hold to it. I like very much that title of JFK's book, Profiles in Courage. I, of course, don't think JFK had it, but his father wanted him to write a book as he thought it would be good, you know, for his run for the presidency, and so Ted Sorensen was given that task. But nonetheless, the title was very good. Profiles in Courage, and the theme that runs through the book is very good, because it shows politicians who took unpopular stances because they thought it was right. Gerald Ford, he's not mentioned in this book, but Gerald Ford, you see, took a very unpopular stance when he pardoned Richard Nixon. But at his funeral, everybody said he took the right stance. At the time, it was unpopular. And sometimes, you see, we have to take unpopular stances when we know they're right. And so I want you to look very carefully at verse 7, because, you see, you could look at Joshua and say, well, I'm not called to that kind of leadership and so forth, and so this be strong and very courageous doesn't apply to me. Oh, yes, it does. You see, God was concerned not that Joshua would overcome the enemy, but that Joshua would not cave in to pressure from his own people. And then, as we move on, you see, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And then he gives a key to being strong also. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written in there. And so the key to being strong and very courageous and to fulfill what God wants you to do in your life is to meditate in the Word of God. I like the Word of God from this point, that when told by God to do something, he shows you how to do it. And so, in a very real sense, he's saying to Joshua, look, the real problem is you don't cave in. You don't change your standards. I thought that was very interesting, as I was meditating upon it today. The enemy wasn't God's problem. He knew that he could give Joshua the battle plan and Joshua would win. I mean, like walking around Jericho 13 times. There was really nothing in that. God wasn't concerned that Joshua would not do that. No, God's concern was, look, Joshua, you're going to uphold my standards. You're going to uphold my standards. That's where God was concerned, that he wouldn't turn to the right or left. Well, my point is this. That applies to each and every one of us. We've got to have the same strength, resoluteness of courage to stand for what God tells us is right, and not to cave in to pressure and to make compromises. So this is bringing it down to our level. God wants us to be strong and very courageous to do all that he has said in his law. And then, you see, the promise is very clear. Then thy way shall be prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Then in verse 9, he says this, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now he's talking about the enemy. He said, now look, if you are strong in the realm of uprightness, then the enemy will fall before you. The enemy will fall before you. The righteous always triumph. The enemy will fall before you. And so we have to understand this for our own lives. We are to be very courageous to do all that God tells us to do. Then the promise is, well, your enemies, oh, they'll fall before you. Don't be afraid of them, they'll fall. You know, the demons believe, but they tremble. You see, and that was the case for Jericho, you see. When the spies went into Jericho, Rahab the harlot said, well, the whole city is shut up. The whole city has heard what God has done for you. The whole city trembles before you. They know that you will be successful. The enemy knows that we should be successful. Now, the real problem is, shall we do what is right? Shall we keep the law of God? Shall we hold to our vision? And that is where so many leaders have given in to pressure from the people of God. And the result is, you know, like Saul of old times, gave in to pressure. Gave in to pressure. He wanted to please the people. He gave in to pressure. They said, well, let's have the lambs. He gave in to pressure. He was told to kill them. Kill all the flocks. He gave in to pressure. He gave in to pressure. No, leadership is not giving in to pressure. Leadership is doing that which is right. And so, I want to commend this little study, you know, to you, because it was very clear indeed that the concern that God had for Joshua was not so much about going against the enemy. He promised that whithersoever you go, I'll be with you. No, the concern of God was, would Joshua hold the standard? And in holding the standard, of course, well, God could fight for him. But when the standard was broken down, when somebody took the gold, Achan took the gold that he was told not to do, God couldn't fight for them. See, God's concern is that leadership will hold the standard. And leadership will not give in to pressure. And leadership will not swing to the right or the left, but leadership will go straight. See, be strong and very courageous to do according to all the law. And beloved, that applies to each one of us. We have to be a Joshua. See? It's not the battle with the enemy. It's the battle to maintain standards. And we were discussing this in India. How many leaders cave into pressure? Compromise. Not from without, but from within. And so we want to be different. We want to keep the standard. And in so doing, God will give us a victory over the enemy. And God will cause our way to be prosperous. And that is true prosperity. Amen. When we keep the standards. Whilst others have sought prosperity by lowering the standards. We seek prosperity by keeping the standards. May God bless you.